Welcome everyone, this is Rafael Hernandez and you are listening to Believe in Barcelona. So once again, thank you very much for all the overwhelming support on social media. And I know that I have been away for a month now, and this was a personal decision because the past month was so tough for us Barca fans on what we saw on pitch. What Koeman is doing is simply unforgivable, and there wasn't many good things to talk about aside from, of course, Ansu's return and him scoring and Gavi starting for Spain. But overall, I decided to just be a little bit patient and finally get back when things were looking up. And right now, I think that things are going to improve. And I'm confident of that Koeman doesn't have much longer on the Barcelona bench. So a big thanks to my podcast producer, Mahan Nouri, and once again for Bet Online for making this podcast a possibility for all of their overwhelming support. So if you want to make any kind of bets, just go on their website. I'm sure that you won't regret it. So today I will be talking about something that I had been meaning to talk about ever since Valverde was sacked long ago, and that is who I would choose as Barcelona's next coach. And of course I'm going to put things very cleanly here, as in, honestly, I'm not going to like list Klopp or Conte, because these coaches honestly are impossible to coach Barcelona as of right now, given their context. So before I begin talking about a little bit about the next coaches, I want to talk about Ferran Reverter's conference. He's the new Barcelona CEO, and the recent conference that he gave to the club members was really interesting because he is one of the finest men that Laporta brought in to manage the club. And he revealed a lot of things about the Bartomeu side of things since he left. So Reverter basically confirmed that Barcelona under Bartomeu used to pay journalists on the side, so basically paying them to defend the club, which is something that surprises me. Not because I don't think there are biased journalists, but because I really thought that they did it for free, and they usually did. But now that they are actually getting paid, and I think that it's really easy to infer which of these journalists were likely getting paid by the club, but I'm not going to mention any names to not get into any trouble. It's something that I have been avoiding a lot lately after I had some threats reaching my email inbox. It's just the kind of thing that's simply not worth it. So Reverter also revealed that 1.4 billion were spent on only 4 players during the Bartomeu reign, which is very strange, because this leads me to believe that all that the Liverpool linked journalists used to say, that Coutinho still had many clauses to be paid, was true. And maybe Coutinho actually cost over 160 million, and we don't know. And same for Griezmann, because it's over a billion on 4 players. And of course we know that at least a third of that was spent on Messi, which isn't a problem, but how about the other 900 million? So this is all very strange. So if I am to think the 4 players that the club spent so much money, definitely Messi, because it's Messi and he deserved it, but also Coutinho, Griezmann, and Dembele, three of the worst signings of all time. I think that we have a very strong claim to at least have half of the worst signings of all time. And well, it's at least we are over Griezmann, hopefully over Dembele and Coutinho too. We just need to forget them. He also confirmed that we have around 20 million that we can spend on January, and we already have been linked with Raheem Sterling, and the offer would be a low one with an obligatory option to buy to Manchester City, and also Dani Olmo. But if I'm honest, I don't think that these players are coming in because we don't have enough money to buy Sterling or Olmo from City and Leipzig. And I think it's better that we don't. There are better players available, and Sterling, the past year and a half for him has been really underwhelming, and Dani Olmo isn't really worth the 75 million that Leipzig was supposedly asking for him. And the more things that Hevertier said that were really interesting, that I really want to talk about, is that Bartomeu rigged the contracts, the players' contracts, to increase after he left. Basically, when he renewed some of the players' contracts, he stated that, okay, for the first years that I'm here, you're going to earn X, and then after I'm gone, you're going to earn a lot more than that. So this is the kind of sabotage that was really clear that Bartomeu did. Then this is plain and simply sabotage, because you're setting up your successor for failure, and it's an absolute disgrace. The guy really didn't care about the club at all. And Hevertier also said there's absolutely no risk of Barcelona becoming a company and getting sold, which is something that is a lot talked about since 2010, since Rossell took over, but there's no risk of that, thankfully. And he reviewed the COVID impact in total to the club since the beginning of the pandemic is 180 million, which is, of course, a sizable sum, but it's far from the 400 or 500 million that the Bartomeu administration and Tusquets was to say. And lastly, he also said that all of the club's employees didn't use any computers that were from the club. They used their personal computers and their personal mobile phones, and all of the emails were deleted after 19 days at the club. So this is the kind of thing that screams cover up, and the due diligence that Laporta and his team are doing out of the club is going to last very, very long, because they're going to uncover much, much more things. And I have been told by a reliable source, close to one of the board members at the club, that the board is going to go after Bartomeu after everything is clear. They want to make a very, very strong case that Bartomeu cannot escape. So I am confident that Bartomeu and the other board members are going to pay for it, or if they don't pay for it, at least are going to have a lot of legal troubles and a lot of headaches. And maybe for rich people, that's the most that we can hurt them, which is a shame, honestly. The second part, I want to talk a little bit about Koeman. I just want to skip talking about all of the nonsense that he said. He's building the future of the club, and all of his nonsensical interviews with the Dutch media. So the difficulty of sacking Koeman is the club would have to pay 12 million upfront in compensation for him, the remainder of his contract. And not only that, but the Catalan media also revealed that Koeman has a clause in his contract that if he is not renewed for a third year, the club needs to reimburse him for the 6 million that he paid to the Netherlands to rescind his contract. So this is just one more thing that reveals the utter nonsense that is going on inside of the club. It's honestly baffling when I saw it, and you can really understand why Laporta is hesitating to sack Koeman. It's a lot of money, and you have Jordi Cruyff inside the club, which is very close friends with Koeman, and he is persuading Laporta to insist on Koeman. So it's not easy for Laporta to take this decision in terms of the people working inside of the club and Koeman too, and the money. And this is really painful. And overall, of course, we have seen the whole mess that the past month was, the humiliation against Benfica and Bayer too, and Atletico Madrid. And really, it's been just overwhelmingly embarrassing. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. And I don't think that anyone listening to this wants to either. So I think that the youth players have made the jump to the first team despite Koeman, not because of him. Gavi is a phenomenon, and it's not Koeman's contribution to actually have him go into the first team, because he was talked about for years by La Masia enthusiasts. And one thing that I really want to repeat here as much as I need to is that Barcelona's squad isn't half as bad as we think it is, and or actually Koeman has made us think, because our midfield is great. Look, you have Gavi starting for Spain. Busquets has played incredibly for Spain under the right tactics. You have Pedri too. You have De Jong. So overall, we are not short-staffed in the middle of the pitch. Same thing for the attack. We have Ansu, we have Depay. Hopefully Dembele soon, but not for long. But overall, I think that the situation is not half as bad. Our defense is really lacking. It's the side that really worries me the most, especially because Ter Stegen hasn't been in good form for over a year now. But overall, with a decent coach, we should have at least challenged for La Liga. I'm not saying winning it, but looking at the state of Atletico Madrid, and which were always fearful of winning because of Simeone, and Real Madrid, which were a mess with Ancelotti, a bigger mess than I expected after a strong start for sure. But overall, I think that if we change coach quickly enough, we can still challenge and have an honorable second half of the season. And really, this is really important, really important, because we have to compete. We have to have a strong finish to our season, because when the summer comes and we need to make signings, maybe sign free agents and whatnot, we need to be in a stronger place now, because right now all of the football world knows that Barcelona are in a complete financial mess and everything, and then we keep getting trashed on the pitch too, humiliated all the time. So it's not easy to persuade players to join the club now, especially now that Messi left, which is another thing that really pains us, which really has made us weak, not only on the pitch, but outside it in the marketing perspective, in terms of attracting footballers and everything. So, but we have to rebuild, and we have to reclaim, we have to wash our image to the football world. It's going to take a few years, but it is doable. Barcelona has been in a hole like this when Laporta took over for the first time, and we can get out of it. So, speaking of the coaches, the first thing that I'm going to mention is some of the interim possibilities. So basically, a caretaker to take over the club and just wait for the summer to come for another coach to take over. One of the first coaches that were mentioned was Jordi Cruyff actually taking over from Koeman, but this is definitely not happening, guys, because Koeman is friends with Jordi Cruyff, and he's not going to simply say, my friend was sacked and now I'm going to take over, especially when he is persuading Laporta to keep Koeman for a little longer. Another good alternative for the club was Albert Capellas, and for those that don't know him, he was coaching the Norway under 21s recently, but most importantly, he has spent almost his entire career at La Masia, and he is one of the greatest men in world football when it comes to understanding how Cruyff used to think and the Barcelona model of doing things. So right now, of course, due to Laporta, he thankfully returned to the club, and he's back at doing his best work at La Masia. But I don't think that he's going to take over right now. If he did, I think it would be a very good thing for the club, especially for the younger players, to have someone to guide them in the long term. And of course, he's a football man. He understands Barcelona. He's not just a legend. Like, I wouldn't even say legend, but a former footballer like Kluivert that was taking care of La Masia recently, and he was completely unqualified for it. So it was really ridiculous. I think that Capellas could be the ideal ideal man to be the caretaker if that is the way that Laporta decides to do things. And the third option as a caretaker is Domenic Torrent. He was Guardiola's assistant for until he joined Manchester City, and then he went to coach New York City and later Flamengo in Brazil. He didn't do extremely well at any of these clubs, but and I don't think that he would be ideal at the club, but I have talked and met with many people that know Torrent personally. And I think that he should have a role inside Barcelona, just not as a coach. And that's how I think it is. In terms of outliers and impossibilities to become Barcelona coach right now, there are Hansi Flick, who is coaching Germany. He's definitely not going to leave anytime soon. Same for Thomas Tuchel, who is happy at Chelsea. And Klopp, who has a contract with Liverpool until 2024. And Klopp does not speak Spanish, which is another thing that would really get in the way of him coaching in Spain. And another option that is completely out of the table right now is Antonio Conte, because Conte would actually demand a massive salary. He was earning over 13 million a year from Internazionale Milano, and it's impossible for a club to pay this, obviously, and Conte would also make many demands in terms of signing, so it's impossible for the club to comply with any of his demands. And I think that Conte knows this too. If he was approached by Barcelona, he would simply turn them down right away, because it's impossible for the club to actually do what he would like them to do. Roberto Martinez has been recently discarded by Barcelona too. And although I wouldn't say he's a bad coach, he's doing a good job at Belgium, aside from the recent bottle job against France in the Nations League. But I think he's just not good enough, and this is a problem that Barcelona is having recently. We keep selecting and appointing coaches that are not good enough compared to the best coaches in the world. We need to go for someone different. And another one that is impossible for now is Erik ten Hag, because not only because he recently renewed his contract with Ajax last summer, but also because he's not going to leave Ajax mid-season. I think it's possible that we could try to appoint him by next summer. It's possible then, but I don't think that we have time until then. We need to take urgent measures. I would also be against actually appointing a caretaker manager right now. We need just to go for the right manager, the manager that Laporta and the Barcelona board wants right away, rather than keep waiting and giving time to Koeman, because we are wasting time, and this is one thing that really worries me, because this season can still end in a high. I'm not saying trophies, but at least in good feelings, you know, good sensations and positivity inside of the club with the right coach. And this is really important. We really need to fight until the end of the season. We cannot give up just because a poor coach like Koeman thinks that we cannot do better than what he's doing, which is honestly inadmissible in my opinion. Well, now for the main candidates that were recently linked, I will start in the order of the candidates that I would least want to the ones that I want the most. So first of all is Pirlo, which was linked to Barca, starting with Gerard Romero on Twitter, which I really keep insisting, do not listen to the guy. He was once a great source on La Masia, but then he started doing stuff like Twitch, and now all of he does on Twitter is to grab attention. He's an attention seeker, and he keeps wanting to do things to simply grab more subscribers for Twitch and whatnot. So overall, Pirlo, I think he would be the worst option of all that were linked to Barcelona. I want to talk about it because people have been asking me a lot about this. And Juventus was too soon for Pirlo, absolutely. He literally had never coached a thing before he coached Juventus. I think that he has the right mentality, Absolutely. I've read his biography, and of course, we all know Pirlo, but he doesn't have the necessary experience to coach one of the top jobs. Can you really imagine Pirlo taking over a Barcelona in ruins as it is right now and actually succeeding? And he would have to leave Italy for Spain too. He actually speaks Spanish, but still, it would be just simply does not fit, you know? And this is the kind of we need to stop with these kind of risky signings, as I said before. Another an op Now there are three options left, three coaches that I would really be pleased if they were appointed as Barcelona coach. So, Ralf Rangnick, he has been linked since Laporta was running for the elections. And I think that he would be a good option for Barcelona in the short term, and then later he would be given a role in the club after the next coach is appointed. Rangnick, in case you don't know, he changed German football. I'm not going to say he is the German Cruyff or anything like that, because that would be absolute nonsense. But Rangnick actually changed the way that Germany looked at football, and you can clearly see his work on the entirety of Bundesliga right now. It's his concepts like pressing, which re evolved in case of Jurgen Klopp's and Gegen pressing, and the quick transitions. So basically, he gives a certain importance to possession football, but possession is not an end like in Cruyffism. I would say it's not part of the whole package, if you know what I mean. And basically, what Rangnick would bring to the club is an updated view of football, because Bayer has adapted to many of the principles of Cruyffism, and it's clear that they are reaping the benefits until today. They started back with Van Gaal, and of course they brought Pep later, and now they have Nagelsmann. And so basically, Bayern Munich took what was best, what the better part of Cruyffism, and updated for German football alongside with much of what Rangnick did. And overall, the results on, of course, were incredible. So overall, I think that he would do a great job to updating Barcelona for modern football, because we have to deal with the reality that our model has become outdated, and we don't need to change it, but we need to update it. So of course we can play with three at the back, and we can play with possession-based football and all of that. But we need to change the way that we do things in its core. And that's maybe have someone physical in the middle of the pitch, but still reliable when passing. And this kind of subject is so tricky that I would have to do a whole podcast to explain it. So I'm not going to just keep talking about it now. I'd rather do it on, in another podcast to actually explain it properly. And after Rangnick and Pirlo, I'm going to talk about Marcelo Gallardo. In case you don't know him, he's currently coaching River Plate. He's also a legend as a footballer then. And of course, he won one of the biggest matches that were played this century, the Libertadores final between Boca Juniors and River Plate, which he won with River Plate at the Bernabéu. 3-1, which honestly it was a cagey match, but it was really emotional. I really enjoyed that match. And not only that, but I think that Gallardo is basically Simeone, but without being a coward. Gallardo does not fear losing matches. He revolutionized River Plate as a whole, and I think that he could do the same at Barcelona. He believes in pressing, he developing youth players, and he also adapts to the opponents if need be, so he can play defensive football depending on the opponents. And I don't think that this is compromising on the style, but actually being pragmatic, and which is something that I really agree. And Gallardo here, if he was appointed, he wouldn't break any traditions at Barcelona. He would simply offer a different view on how we do things. And When you look at Atletico Madrid and how Simeone changed them, you can clearly see that this kind of change could be welcome at our club. But as I said, Gallardo is more like a mix of Jurgen Klopp and Guardiola than Simeone. But his impact at the way that he did things at River Plate, it's similar to the impact that Simeone caused at Atletico Madrid. So, and of course, they're both Argentinian too. And finally, which is the option that I think it's going to end up being appointed to the Barcelona coach is Xavi. Yeah, I think that Xavi could be a great coach for Barcelona. Yes, absolutely. He would be ideal for the young players. He's also very dogmatic and idealistic about Cruyffism. But of course, we all know Xavi's qualities. But I also worry, my main worries about Xavi is that he didn't accept training Barcelona B or staying at the club. He preferred to making a lot of money in Qatar. And of course, he's coaching Al Sadd and doing a decent job there. The last season was really great for them. But aside from that, he still doesn't have much experience at the top level. Barcelona would be obviously very different from coaching in Qatar. And of course, I would say that my main fear is actually fear that he could fail, is his lack of humility as a coach. Of course, we know that Xavi has been always very dogmatic when he gave interviews. He was very idealistic about the Barcelona way of doing things. And of course, that's absolutely valid. I think it's really worked on wonders for him in his career, but it would do well for the club at some points. But overall, there's also the danger that Xavi could still insist on doing things the way that Guardiola once did in the past, instead of updating how things are done to coaching in 2021. So, of course, if you look at that, comparing him to Guardiola in this case, I think it's valid because Guardiola has really changed as a coach since he left Barcelona. He started to change his way of doing things at Bayern, but when he joined Manchester City, he really evolved his style. And I think this is something that I worry that Xavi might not be willing to do, you know, do things differently because it's not being dogmatic and inflexible in football as it is. It's something that I don't think that would be very productive for Barcelona. Of course, running and not following our style and losing our identity, I don't think it would be a good thing, but we need to have to be flexible to update ourselves. Like, as I said, like Bayern and Manchester City did, I would say that both of these clubs were really affected by Johan Cruyff and Guardiola. So we need to actually look at these clubs and update our way of doing things. And I really don't think that is controversial. Football is always about evolving. And if we are left behind, we just have to work on catching up again and maybe trailblazing too in the future, doing different things. And aside for that, the La Masia seniors are a really problem. Could be a real, real problem for Xavi because he's friends with Piqué, Busquets, Alba, Sergio Roberto and others. And phasing them out, actually kicking them out of the club, I don't know if it's something that Xavi would easily do. And this is my main reservation, but overall, I would say that Xavi, Rangnick or Gallardo would all be amazing signings for Barcelona. I think that they all have a potential to change the club, to update it and to make it better. And of course, start the big rebuild that the club is going to undergo in the next 2 to 3 years. They could really make things work. And to cap things off, I really don't think that Koeman is going to survive a few more bad results. Maybe he will even be sacked before El Clásico, but our season could be lost by them. And this is something that really worries me. As I said, we can fight for the league. And the big mistake here by Laporte, I think that he is listening too much to his football people, if you know what I mean. Because when you look at our recent matches with Koeman for the past month, we have been simply disastrous. There are simply absolutely zero redeeming qualities about what we have seen on pitch, and this is not going to get better. Koeman's in his conferences is getting even more arrogant and speaking even more rubbish, and this cannot go on, guys. So let us just wait that Koeman will be out before the end of the month. That's all we can hope, and that a good coach will be appointed in his place to actually build things carefully and patiently. So this is all you're getting from me today. Once again, a big thanks to my podcast producer, Mahan Nuhiri, and of course, for BetOnline to making this show a possibility. Take care, my friends, and see you on social media.